This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, July 29th, 2011. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the poetry of a typo.
I write poetry, but my day job is I teach literature.
That's poet and professor Fred Moten.
At one point, I was making some notes and getting ready to say something about the slave trade, and I just made a typo and said the salve trade.
Slave to salve, S-A-L-V-E, an ointment or balm that heals and soothes. Foreign meaning from the word slave, but having an intriguing relationship for Fred Moten. In any case, Moten's spelling mistake led to a poem that explores the complicated position of an African-American intellectual toward working-class blacks. And Fred Moten is such an intellectual. He's a professor of English and African and African-American studies at Duke University, and he swims in the waters of critical theory. You can hear it in his poems, which have titles like Fugitivity is Imminent to the Thing, but is Manifest Transversally. I don't know what that means, but it sure sounds good. The Salve Trade was written at the time of Hurricane Katrina, and in one sense, you could call this a Katrina poem. But it's quite disjunctive, jumping from place to place, thought to thought, without explicitly telling us what's going on or even who's speaking.
I think that he uses a lot of the structural strategies of sample production in hip-hop, you know, just sort of like the rapid changes of, say, bop.
Bop, as in bebop. That's Douglas Kearney, a poet, professor, and performer in L.A. who is very familiar with Moten's work.
What's fascinating to me is that there is this interest in history, but he cuts that public history with these more personal histories. And I think a part of how he works is to eliminate the connective tissue that would say, for example, oh, when the Challenger exploded, this is the same time that my parents were going through a divorce, and you create this sort of metaphor that or a really sort of structured comparison between the two. I think he cuts out that tissue.
In other words, this is not a narrative poem, but you can sense the speaker in the poem reacting to various narratives and images of Katrina while thinking through his own position as a black intellectual. The poem begins on Perdido Street in New Orleans, which can't help but evoke the great Louis Armstrong's Perdido Street Blues. Here's Fred Moten reading The Salve Trade.
All down on Perdido Street, from San Juan to Inglewood, up on that bridge, up where the soul trees grow by soul, dance to fantastic information while we kick off the modern world. The whistle sounded good like a kiss on a train, a track below us in the cabinet, in the tunnel, under the water, a steady boom to lift us out. Nobody lived, not without digging. But he wore that ivory waistcoat, and we love to see that shit. I love my people too much to be around them at school. I slip underneath the cinema tree, move myself in half, dance to fray, write a paper on the salve trade. The big fat women and the helicopters they bring with them to watch them and their kids. Whole long-ass sheets of improper names. We refused to act right at the hospital, and I was right with them. At the wrong time, I started reading my paper, and ash flew from their big old legs. We rubbed down and danced every day at the broke clinic, and I was right with them. Johnny Griffin turns to this long burning to pray for fire. Make a song about the sky they stole. If you ain't gonna get down, then what you come here for? What they bring your ass up in here for if you ain't gonna tear shit up? If you wasn't just as happy to be here as you was to come, then what you gonna do, simple motherfucker? The salve trade.
That was Fred Moten reading The Salve Trade from his book Hewson's Tavern. There's a lot going on in that poem, and I confess to understanding it so little on first hearing that when I was recording Fred Moten, I didn't even know quite what questions to pose. So I asked him about the ending and the sudden change into colorful black vernacular.
That comes in at the end. Whose voice is that?
Well, It's probably a couple of different voices. One of them is an attempt to respond in some ways to the journalistic discourse around Katrina, but also probably an attempt to respond to a certain kind of academic discourse that was around Katrina, too. So maybe that voice is trying to provide a different way of looking at the people, particularly the black folks who were forced to move by this sort of man-made, unnatural disaster.
Another question. It becomes a slightly surrealistic, the poem, when it reads, "I started reading my paper and ash flew from their big old legs."
That's actually real material at that point. When black people, particularly if their skin is relatively dark, when your skin gets dry, black folks, you know, call it ashiness or ashy. Your skin kind of looks like you got ash covering it. So a lot of times people will rub lotion on themselves or cream. So that's also connected to the whole notion of the salve. And also there are a whole bunch of different ways in which these sorts of habits of personal care, personal hygiene, they can sometimes be very coded in class ways. Not in a simple sense of, remember, upper class people make sure to not go outside looking ashy and lower class people don't, but rather that even within, let's say, what we might think of as a kind of single class identity, people would make a distinction about how people are and their classiness, I guess you could even say, if they go out looking ashy or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what I'm trying to do is to express a certain kind of solidarity with working class black folks in the face of the way in which they are continually denigrated from a whole bunch of different directions during Katrina. So a lot of the poem is just, more than anything, it's an expression of a certain solidarity. And I guess given what I do and, you know, where I live and where I am right now, my relation to that formation is detached, but it's certainly the social space that I come from. And I try to bear it with me as much as it's possible to do.
And towards, at the very end of the poem addresses a you, mm-hmm. basically calling him a simple motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Who is the you there?
Well,
I took it as me.
No, it's not. Well, I was referring to somebody very specific who I won't mention, but who then becomes a recurring figure in the course of Houston's Tavern, somebody to whom I'm speaking in the interest of trying to offer some kind of a corrective to certain formulations that this person made that I thought of as quite simple. So that phrase, simple motherfucker, comes back a bunch.
And
let's just say it's somebody who operates within a certain kind of intellectual formation within my field of black studies. That's probably the best way to put it.
So that helps a bit to understand what the poem's up to. Here's something else he said.
Houston's Tavern in general tries to celebrate the sort of persistence of a certain kind of underground radical black social life. And certainly New Orleans is a place where for a long time that persistence had been really intense under a really massive oppressive weight. It was out of that sociality that jazz emerges.
And jazz has a central place in this poem. When the poem mentions the tenor saxophonist Johnny Griffin, the speaker suddenly changes registers.
Johnny Griffin turns to this long burning to pray for fire, make a song about the sky they stole. If you ain't gonna get down, then what you come here for?
In other words, the poet, suddenly channeling the vernacular voice of Johnny Griffin, is saying something like, if you can't make poetry like I make music out of our people's miseries, what business do you have being a poet? This reading helps make sense of the poem's opening lines, which evoke the traditions and modern innovations of New Orleans jazz, and celebrate a musician, or what appears to be a musician, for wearing a fancy ivory waistcoat, in spite of the deep miseries his people find themselves in. Let's hear the beginning of the poem again.
All down on Perdido Street, from San Juan to Inglewood, up on that bridge, up where the soul trees grow by soul, dance to fantastic information while we kick off the modern world. The whistle sounded good like a kiss on a train. A track below us in the cabinet, in the tunnel, under the water. A steady boom to lift us out. Nobody lived, not without digging. But he wore that ivory waistcoat, and we loved to see that shit.
Here's my gloss on the poem. One of the great achievements of African-American culture has been to turn the unspeakable experience of the slave trade into music and poetry that soothes the historical wounds, like a salve. Those wounds, as Katrina amply demonstrated, are still being inflicted. And it's the poet's job to bear witness, to make trouble, and make art out of it.
What they bring your ass up in here for if you ain't gonna tear shit up? If you wasn't just as happy to be here as you was to come, then what you gonna do, simple motherfucker? The salve trade.
You can read more poems by Fred Moten on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Special thanks to Douglas Kearney, who walked me through the poem. Do let us know what you think of this program, where our motto is,
if you ain't gonna get down, then what you come here for?
Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.